Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The base is loaded and one out.
Oh, my God.
Deep to right field. Way up there and way out of here. Second deck walk-off home run. Grand slam.
Hello and welcome in, everyone, to episode 174 of the Base is Loaded Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Kurland. You can follow me on Twitter at Mike underscore Kurland. It is, today is April 11th. 2022. Baseball's on the television. A beautiful day to talk baseball, of course. I'm going to discuss more lineup stuff, more some noticeable like velocity stuff I'm paying attention to, and pitch mix stuff I've noticed. Kind of have a lot of that going on. We're going to dive right in. It's going to be a rather quick pod because I am rolling solo. But before we get going, a 5-star rating and review is greatly appreciated. And don't forget, check us out on Patreon. We're up to like 67 Patreons, I believe, which the support has been unreal. It's been amazing. Every day I get the lineup notes team by team to everyone. Not to mention, I've been adding a little bit of extra stuff like a bonus velocity report. I'm kind of monitoring velocity and stuff every day and just kind of putting little notes together and putting it on there. And that's just a few of the things we do. We do bonus write-ups. We do bonus content all around. So check us out. That's the $3 tier and above. So basically $3, you can get access to all that stuff. Plus we have a Discord and all that. So again, patreon.com/SK Playbook. And don't forget that starting today, actually, I put out my first of what's going to be a daily Monday through Friday article on SK Playbook as well. So that one's going to be free. It's kind of like a little bit of a tidbit of all the stuff I'm covering, but you get a little tidbit of it every day. Whereas I give a full in-depth version on Patreon. So it's, again, it's a little give and take there, but again, appreciate the support. Now let's jump into some of these lineup trends, playing time situations I'm monitoring. The big one is Joe Adell. I think everyone's talking about it, but it deserves your attention. Joe Madden's already come out and said that Tyler Ward's going to be a starting outfielder when he returns. That kind of already muddies up the situation. Obviously, you have Mike Trout in center, and then you have Brandon Marsh and Joe Adell kind of splitting what's left of the reps there. And that's frustrating because, you know, Adell had the strong spring, but then has come into the season, even without Ward on the team and injured. He's almost been weak side platooning. He's started against one righty, but he's only started against one lefty. And then the other two righties he has set. And everyone who's watching him can tell that he's having trouble with the breaking pitches right now. He is like 0-9 as we speak with like 7 Ks to start the season. All this, let's be honest here, it's all small samples, but we have to react to what we have. And that type of swing and miss shouldn't just be ignored blatantly. So that's worth mentioning. And Adell's becoming somebody that, like, in a shallower format, he can be cut, I would say. It's the deeper formats where it's like you might want to hold on tight just to see how it goes. But, man, it is definitely frustrating, to say the least, when it comes to Joe Adell. A couple other notable lineup stuff. Again, we're going to kind of fly through some of these lineup stuff, notable lineup things, and just get again, these pods are going to be quicker because the idea of them is to be a kind of quick hit thing so people are just aware of what's going on with the trends. We have the Brewers obviously platooning at this point. They have Andrew McCutchen is actually a daily player. I thought initially he would be a platoon guy because of the strong splits from last year. So far in 13 plate appearances this year, he is hitting .250. So nothing spectacular. Only striking out 15.4% of the time, so not lost strikeouts. One double, a run. Nothing to write home about. But he plays every day. Lefty, righty, doesn't matter. He bats fourth against righties. McCutchen leads off against lefties. And the thing I've noticed about this team, though, is Ahira is on the short side of a platoon. Tyrone Taylor seems to be on a short side of a platoon. And Mike Brousseau, which we knew was going to be on a short side of a platoon because of his left-handed splits. So we have Brousseau, who platoons with Jace Peterson until Luis Urias gets back, which, again, gets all kind of crazy. Keston Hira, who's platooning with Tellez on the strong side, and Lorenzo Cain, who I guess they're platooning him just to give him I mean, they're going to, he had built in rest coming anyway. So maybe this is their way of doing it. But so far it's been a Tyrone Taylor and Lorenzo Cain platoon situation going on there. The rest of that team seems to be anybody not named, you know, Yelich, Renfro, Adames, those guys are regulars. Colton Wong, even against lefties, he moves down, but he still plays every day. The Orioles, my boy, Jorge Mateo, he's playing every day. Sure, he's hanging at the bottom of the lineup, but he has some really solid plate appearances this year. What I'm taking away from that is that not only is he walking more, but he's had some called strikeouts, which are fine because he's showing a more patient and more seasoned approach at the plate. And if Mateo can sustain that, he already stole a base. You're getting him for the stolen bases. But if he can sustain a more patient approach, maybe that 250 batting average is more of a floor than a ceiling. So that's why I'm excited here. There's going to be ample opportunity for him to get on base and batting low in the lineup. No reason he can't run. Mateo's been batting like between 7th and 9th. I think 8th and 9th even. I'd have to double check my notes. But Mateo's a guy that I am weirdly excited about going back to the preseason or spring training, whatever you want to call it. Ramon Urias has my attention though, because he's batting 5th in this lineup and he's moved up real quick. And another reason why he has my attention is because he should gain third base eligibility. I believe he's already had 2 starts at third base this season. He has. And 10 is what you need in NFBC formats. But, you know, 2 doubles, 3 hits and 11 plate appearances. He's, you know, extra base hits with the 2 doubles and all that. That's why I pointed it out. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of mixing and matching, I think, between the 5 and 9 spots. But Austin Hayes has already dipped to 7th the last 2 games. Ramon Urias, if he hits, he'll stick in the middle of the lineup, which gives him a lot more RBI potential, considering he's going to be hitting behind the big 4 in Mullins, Mountcastle, Santander, and Mancini. So that one caught my attention there. Jumping over to the Rockies, Connor Joe's season is on. At first, I got scared off by Hilliard's usage in spring, but now Connor Joe has pretty much started every game, and he's even played first base. He leads off against lefties and moves down against righties, but the key there is he stays in the lineup. Connor Joe has not been subbed out or platooned no matter what or who is pitching. It's kind of a cool thing to see. We love to see it. He has a stolen base, I believe, yesterday, so he's running already. Playing time's there. Coors is always going to provide a high floor in production. Connor Joe, if you were in before, you should be happy to see this. The Rangers, Brad Miller. Brad Miller is actually leading off against righties. We saw the trend leading into the season, and it looks like it's happening. It's happening against every righty so far. And on the season, Brad Miller is crushing the ball. 364 batting average, OPS over 1,000, like 1.385, I think it is. He's just crushing it. 2 home runs, 5 RBI, and this is just in 13 plate appearances. We know he could be streaky, but if you look at his splits last year, Brad Miller absolutely crushed the ball against righties. So we know the production against righties can be there. Plus, he has been actually pinch hitting in games as well. So that alone gives him added plate appearances, even though he's not starting. So guys like Nick Solak, who, you know, will platoon against lefties and had himself a decent little game yesterday, he's kind of stuck on the outside looking in as the team sits right now. Players like that. Willie Calhoun's been hitting towards the bottom of the lineup. He's actually out today against lefty, but he has played every day before. So I think it's more of a rest day, maintenance day. But I'm not sure how secure the playing time is for Calhoun. So it's something I'm monitoring. And the last team I'm going to hit on, because again, I don't want to touch on every single team today. I could spend a whole hour just talking about this stuff. But no, you know what? I'll give you 2. I will do 2 more teams, because one more team is the Tigers, where I think it's worth mentioning that Akil Baddoo started off opening day batting 7th. Then batting 9th, and then out of the lineup. Those were the first 3 games of the season for him. 4th game of the season, he's batting 9th. So a bottom of the lineup spot for Baddoo, very much likely. He's hitless, striking out. It's almost like Adele type of production I mentioned before. It's ugly. And unfortunately, he had a strong spring, and Baddoo, his confidence probably got a little shaken up by this. Austin Meadows was, you know, traded for, and he's producing out of the 2 spot. I thought they were going to push Meadows to the 4, leave Baddoo at the top, and kind of shift everyone down 1. Of course, that's not how it played out. So it's one of those things you have to monitor Baddoo, because if he starts platooning, if he starts, you know, if he's not producing from the bottom of the order, which already gives him less opportunity to produce, Baddoo can become cuttable sooner than later. I'm not cutting him yet. But I mean, again, it's kind of like Adele. If you're in a really shallow format, like a 10 teamer or a 12 teamer or 3 outfielders, he is replacement level. So outside of that, though, I wouldn't cut him yet. I know it's all reactionary, but these are the things that I feel like we can react to early on and get a leg up on the competition, where everyone's stashing him or even playing him through these issues you could be moving on in a shallower format and get a guy that's good, that's producing for you. And the last one we'll talk about, I don't even want to talk about this one. So I lied. Two more, because Stephen Kwan deserves being discussed. The dude is on base machine and a hit tool and a hit magnet. The guy has legit plate skills and plate discipline. He hasn't shown the ability. I mean, it's very, very early in the season, but the hard hit rate hasn't been there. The barrel skills haven't been there. So it's almost like Brantley and Fletcher type of, you know, just really elite hit tool, but the power hasn't shown yet. I mean, it's still very early, and he showed a little bit of power in the minors last year, Kwan did. So obviously he grew into some power, but I think he's like 5'9", 170. So the frame isn't even something you can project in terms of growth. So the power might just be mediocre in general. I mean, that power won't translate directly to the pros as it is, I think, because you're seeing better pitching. And although he's a great hit guy, doesn't mean the hit tool will turn into a power. So we'll see how that goes. I'm seeing closer to like a 10 home run type of guy, maybe 12. And hopefully he can kind of fall into 10 stolen bases, because last year we saw a little bit of a power speed combination for Kwan. I think the on base and the hit tool are so legit though. So the floor for production is there. Points leagues, he's even better because he doesn't strike out. he deserves that attention. But Rosario is batting fifth now, so it changes his outlook from more of like a runs projection to an RBI projection. Batting fifth in that lineup can be a good thing for him. Owen Miller, I think I mentioned him in a couple articles. He started two straight at first base, one against a lefty, which I figured Bobby Bradley was platooning, but then the second day in a row against a righty, so with Bobby Bradley out. Not sure Bradley's been benched or replaced yet, obviously, but it goes to show you that Bradley's playing time isn't as secure as maybe many might have thought. And in deeper formats where you might have drafted him late as a corner, I would be looking to replace him. I mean, he wasn't that special as it was. It was kind of a Hail Mary for power when you drafted Bradley. So if they're already messing with his playing time, and I can't find anything, at least as of now, about an injury or anything or any reason why he's out, so that might be somebody you might want to replace or think about replacing. And the last one is Jazz Chisholm of the Marlins. The whole batting ninth thing did stick. Soler is leading off. Cooper is batting second. Jesus Sanchez is sticking in the middle of the lineup. What I'm getting at is this is one of those lineups that have shown us from day one what they intended to do. And Chisholm's hitting, though. So it's not like Chisholm is struggling or anything at the plate. You know, the strikeouts are still kind of there, not as bad to start the year. But he is a volatile player, but he has the tools. Right now in the season, he's hitting 500, but it's just 8 plate appearances. But there's a double in there, a home run in there, only 25% strikeout rate, walking double digits. So Chisholm's doing everything he needs to move up the order so far. But again, we're talking 8 plate appearances. It takes one game going 0-for-4 with 3 Ks to turn the stat line completely around, or one day of going 3-for-4 with 2 home runs to completely turn the stat line or into a more unrealistic line or unrealistic line that he can't sustain all year. I'm stumbling over my words. I apologize. But yeah, so those are the ones I wanted to bring those up. Now, again, I've been doing additional velocity reports. So I've been tweeting about pitching more than usual, which I enjoyed tweeting about pitching because I didn't do it a lot last year and I didn't cover a lot of it this year leading up to the season. And it's just nice to get into a routine of doing this because it's going to keep me with my face, with my head or my eyes on pitchers. And Hunter Green utilized the 3-pitch mix yesterday against the Braves, and all three were 14% usage. And when I look at a pitch mix, I don't really consider a pitch a part of someone's arsenal unless it's like around 10% utilized. Because at that point, I mean, don't get me wrong, hitters still have to think about the other pitches, but they know that they're not going to see them much. Whereas at least 10% of the time, it's more than just it's more than just a one-off thrown thing. So overall, Hunter Green had a 34% whiff rate against the Braves, a very impressive Braves lineup. 32% of that on the four seamer, a 32% whiff rate alone on the four seam, which he threw 61% of the time. So if he could throw that fastball and it's not going straight down the middle, which was his issue, Green had issues with the fastball just coming in flat. So if he's getting deception on that fastball and able to create swing and misses with how much he depends on it, Green should be able to succeed with a heavy fastball usage. And he topped 100 multiple times last start, averaging 99.7 on that four seamer. So we know the four seamer can be effective as long as he's locating it right. And then he has a, he came with a slider as well that had a 45% whiff rate and a 39% swing CSW. So the slider complemented the fastball well. And he, again, he has the three pitch mix. So those were just the two that he utilized the most, which again, it's very intriguing to see what he has going on. And Bailey Ober was another one that I saw that was like solid, just kind of hitting his spots. Bailey Ober is a high four type of pitcher, but he's a guy that I noticed that he added a little bit of velocity to some of his pitches, and he offers the, you know, the pitch mix, and there's excitement about that, you know, or at least there should be. A couple more pitchers real quick, try and find my notes on them, I apologize, but Drew Rasmussen, I should look that up. I think it's Drew Rasmussen. I actually have a guy that was emailed to me. I will utilize it moving forward for sure, but Drew Rasmussen, we'll say utilize the, again, it's funny because I've heard this name said 1,000 times on a podcast, but then when you have to say it, it just doesn't come out right. But he utilized a new pitch yesterday, or his last start, excuse me. It was a cutter, which he threw 23% of the time. And it's his third offering now, if this is any indication of how he plans to use the cutter. So Rasmussen, he had a 43% whiff rate and a 40% CSW on the day. On the cutter. Excuse me. He had a 43% whiff rate and a 40% CSW on the cutter. However, when the cutter was hit, it was hit hard. Like the average exit velocity, I believe, if I remember correctly, off the top of my head, was close to 100 miles per hour. So it wasn't hit often, but when it was hit, it got smacked. So we got to see how the effectiveness carries over for this cutter for Rasmussen. But all things considered, it is something intriguing and it gives him a third pitch. And lastly, we should, there's two more. Carlos Rodon, velocity was up, which I think can be concerning because obviously coming off injury, the fact that he's throwing harder suggests maybe there's a higher risk for re-injury, but the fact that he's throwing harder suggests he's healthy. So yes, there's give and take. He's healthy. There's no doubting that right now. How long can he stay healthy throwing even harder than last year? However, he just crushed it. He looked amazing. 50% whiff rate, again, even though it was against the Marlins, it's absurd. A 42% CSW. Again, like I said, 2 mile per hour velocity jump for Rodon. Just needs to stay healthy. I know it's a big need. I have no shares and I had FOMO coming in. I have serious FOMO now. Luis Severino upped the usage of his cutter, threw it 17% of the time. Now he threw the cutter literally twice last season in like the one appearance, whatever, a couple appearances he made or whatever it was. I forgot how it worked. He made a brief appearance last year is what I'm getting at for Severino. And he essentially hasn't thrown a cutter since 2016. And back then, for Severino, the cutter was only utilized 1.9% of the time. So we saw the usage of the cutter there. We saw the velo on the four-seamer sitting at 97.8 miles per hour for Severino and 90.9 miles per hour on the changeup, both of which were up from his previous readings. So he's sitting 1.7 miles per hour higher on the four-seamer and 2.7 miles per hour higher on the changeup. You would like to see more of a differential on the changeup and fastball. However, if they tunnel well, then the speeds won't be such a big deal. But typically you like a bigger differential in the fastball to changeup. But Severino, either way, he's showing he's healthy. He added the usage of the cutter and pretty much cut out the slider, which is weird because the slider has been one of his main pitches in terms of for strikeouts and all that. So we'll see how the change works out or if it maybe becomes more of a balanced four pitch mix. Don't know yet. Maybe all the cutter was a reworked version of the slider, less torque on the arm. Who knows? He just found it. He utilized it and it became useful for him. So we'll see how that turns out for Severino. Just worth mentioning. So we touched on a bunch of lineups. We touched on some pitchers. This is going to be kind of the vibe, kind of the pods I do moving forward, at least when I'm solo. We should be coming back Wednesday or Thursday because we'll record Wednesday with another podcast. It's going to be George and I. We'll talk about more of like some of the early happenings overall in the season and all that. So please don't forget to hit that 5-star rating and review on your way out. I hope you enjoy these quick listens. Obviously, again, the Patreon, check us out. You could check us out, all our work out there. We have a lot of stuff coming out daily. Again, $3 a month to start. And that tier gets you pretty much everything. And we also offer other tiers as well. So don't forget to check us out on patreon.com/SK Playbook. And lastly, I'm going to plug it again, skplaybook.com in general. You'll find work by me every day of the week, Monday through Friday, pretty much a lineup takeaway article, which is like similar to these pods, but in written form Monday through Friday. So you'll get one of these pods a week, maybe two. And then you get that one article every day, Monday through Friday. So worth mentioning, worth checking out. You can subscribe to our newsletter, which is on that site as well, which I email these out 3 times a week anyway. So even though they're done daily, I email the newsletter out, which includes these articles 3 times a week if you're more of an email person. So yeah, that's going to do it. Sorry to ramble. There's just always so much going on. I appreciate you guys listening. Don't forget, check me out on Twitter @Mike_Curlin if you're still listening. And as always, we'll talk again soon.